magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends, Eli, Jared, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 483. If you were watching the video version of this podcast, you just got treated to an extremely long pre-show dialogue about
all sorts of things. That's how this podcast is going to go, because jack shit happened this week.
And yeah, it was kind of a slow news week with mobile gaming stuff. So we probably should have just started the show and recorded all that BS we just talked about.
Jump into this. And then we can switch back to, I actually have a very entertaining and heartwarming story.
Entertaining and heartwarming? Yeah. So, Do you want to last through these?
Might as well. So we're not like,
let's switch things up. We'll shoot directly into game talk, which we never do, but I'm down to do today. So the first of only three things significant that happened this week is that League of Legends Wild Rift, the open beta, finally has a release date for the Americas, which it has been slowly rolling out for like the past, I don't know, 6 months or something, in other parts of the world. And for whatever reason, America was like last on the list. But we now know it's going to be released on March 29th. And seems pretty cool. It's still going to technically be beta. I don't know when it'll be not beta anymore, but the important thing is you'll be able to play it for yourself if you're in America.
It's really good.
On March 29th.
I enjoyed the Asian, where did it launch first? Like Japan or something, right?
Somewhere, Philippines or something like that. But yeah, I remember you played it a little bit.
I liked it a lot.
And then didn't they totally cut off access to it from anywhere?
Yeah, but I mean, it was like somewhat understandable because like, you know, these games kind of require you to be sort of fast and stuff. And like, man, the wacky setup I had to have in order to play, like you could tell the game was kind of like lagging through my weird VPN and all this other stuff. And like, I get why they wanted to restrict it, because like, it's ruining the game for people in Japan if like every single person they match with is like a laggy mess, right? So
yeah,
I get it.
That feels like that's always been the case with me when I jump through a bunch of hoops just to play something that's like soft launch in some obscure country, where I don't know, it's sort of the anticipation of just seeing it. You're like so excited to see this new game or whatever, and then you play it and then you do see it, but the experience is so subpar. You're sort of just like, I sort of wish I would have just waited. So anyway, so yeah, the legit release in America is March 29th. League of Legends, the phoned down version.
Do you guys deal with anyone at Riot or their PR company or anything on this?
Yeah.
Who do they have doing PR? Like 47 or something?
I think so. I'd have to look it up, but yeah, I think so. Actually, no, I want to take that back. I think it's somebody from Riot directly, but I could be wrong.
I'd love to write some shit about this game if you are interested in that. Mega into League of Legends.
Yeah. You're way more, way more qualified than me to talk about anything.
Idiot, I think is the word you're looking for.
I was looking up what PR it is. It is actually, it's Terra Bruno PR. So there you go. But
it's
anyway,
interesting that like a company that's as massive as Riot still uses like a PR contracting company, right? Instead of having like a marketing department.
Yeah, kind of. And it's also funny, they're not the only ones. There's some other really big companies that have multiple PR people. And so I'll get a PR blast from one company and I'll get essentially the same thing from another company. And then sometimes I'll get a third one from the developer itself. Like they do have internal PR that sends this stuff out, but they're also at some point contracted like two separate PR firms to also do all this same stuff for them. They probably just forgot it, or forgot that they even hired those people or whatever. It's just like a strange thing.
Yeah, it really like blows my mind, particularly now being on kind of like the production and like game release side of things. Like,
yeah,
maybe I'm just a fucking idiot. I don't know. But like the amount of effort and planning that like I put into the stuff that we do at Game Club, I just have like no idea how those sort of things can happen.
Yeah.
And unless like, which particularly with bigger companies that are working with like exponentially larger budgets and larger staff and everything, like I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's very weird, but the way it is, messy industry, I guess. So anyway, League of Legends on your phone, March 29th, a couple weeks away. Pretty exciting.
Isn't it? It's like soft launch everywhere but the United States, right? Like
pretty much, and I think Canada and maybe Mexico or whatever, North America, I think, but. Yeah, so finally coming our way. Story number two of the week. This seemed really cool. It's called, it's a narrative-based rhythm game called A Musical Story from a developer named Glee Cheese and published by Digirati. And kind of hard to explain. It's kind of one of those things where the trailer, I was like, really just captured my attention because it's such a unique like art style and animation style, and it's very hard to describe. It's kind of stop motion-y but illustrated. I don't know. You really need to watch the trailer if you haven't yet, because it's really cool. Also has some really good tunes. It has all original music and stuff, and like I said, it's a narrative driven rhythm game, which I feel like you don't always get a lot of. It's very much based around it takes place in the 70s. And you play as a guy who, it appears, has gotten in some kind of accident or something like that, and then wakes up in the hospital, and in his own brain is like, I don't remember anything, and I also don't know what's happening. Like, he doesn't really realize what his situation is. And so he's kind of coming to terms with whatever has happened, and then starts to remember this music, and the music ends up being his own band's music. And it kind of unfolds the story that they were like, you know, out on tour and driving in a van. And it seems like they maybe got in an accident or something like that. But you play along with his songs. And then those sort of unlock new memories for him. And then he kind of remembers more of the story. And so you're kind of eventually getting to the bottom of whatever happened to this guy that's in this hospital bed. And, you know, the whole story behind it or whatever. Seems really cool. Much more story driven than like a typical rhythm game.
Yeah, that seems neat. I'm surprised like how in depth it is. Like I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like why not have more story in a game like this, especially because it's a story centered around a band that plays music, and seems pretty cool. So anyway, this is gonna be. There's no hard release date yet, but it's. Got picked to be featured in the London Games Festival, which actually starts next week on the 19th and runs through the 28th. And so it will be featured there. And to celebrate that, they're going to release a demo on Steam. This is coming to PC and Switch and Xbox One in addition to iOS. And so on the 19th, when the London Games Festival kicks off, they'll release a free demo on Steam. So if you have Steam and a PC and you want to check this out early, check it out on the 19th. You can also... They have a Steam page up now, so you can just like wishlist it and you'll get like a notification or whatever when the demo drops. I think they give you notifications when demos happen. But anyway, so that's cool. I'll probably try and check this out early. But it sounds like it's not super far off either. I imagine they'll probably want to launch it not too far after this. So looks really cool though. Definitely watch the trailer if you haven't yet.
Sounds neat. Like a little too neat even. I hope it like actually in practice is cool. That's been the case sometimes with like, at least for me, I don't know, like maybe I just kind of see the Matrix a little too much on these kind of games, but like a lot of these like hyper out there narrative driven games, you kind of just start to be like, okay, well, like I can tell that you had like a really cool idea that would have made for like an insane 30-minute game experience.
Yeah.
And you needed to figure out how to turn that into like a 6-hour game. And
yeah,
I mean, that to me is, and I don't know, this might be sacrilege, but That was kind of my vibe with What Remains of Edith Finch. Did you ever play that?
I did not.
It's like, I don't know, really, it's really cool, but to me that game would have been like way better if it was like 25% the length.
Which
wouldn't have been like a game that you could sell then, because it would be like a really short interactive experience, I guess.
Right. Yeah, sometimes that's such a better thing, though, to have short and focused rather than padded out because you feel like it needs to be worth selling or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if that'll be the case here or not, but it does seem very cool. And I'll also add, I don't really love rhythm games too often. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a really big Guitar Hero fan back in the day.
I mean, who wasn't back when it first came out, right?
Right. But I feel like that was a little bit different because a lot of it was music that I really liked anyway. But then there's so much to be said for having the guitar, the physical guitar controller, which made all the difference, right? So that was like its own thing. But beyond that, I've never really been into like rhythm games all that much.
Did you get into Rock Band at all? Was that your jam?
A little bit. My friend had it, so I'd play it at his house. I never had it. Mm-hmm. I only had Guitar Heroes, but I had like every Guitar Hero. But yeah, Rock Band, same thing, was fun. But yeah, outside of that, I'm not really big into rhythm games. But last week, actually, the game of the week was the Queen Rock Tour game. Did you play that at all?
Yeah, it was cool.
Dude, it's super good. It's so surprisingly good. Like, it's funny because I mentioned this in the game of the week, but I'm like, this is the sort of game you expect to be bad. Like, or you know what I mean? Like, it's licensed by a huge... rock band, and then it's made by Gameloft. It's a mobile game in 2021. Like, it's the recipe for like a shitty license. And,
I think you guys posted the like teaser trailer, or I don't remember how I first heard about this, but like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be bad,
right?
there's no way that this is anything other than like very dumb and very shitty and like just a cash in based on IP, more or less.
Yes, that's immediately what you would think.
It's totally not. It's good.
Yeah, it's super good, and it's very much a love letter to fans of Queen. Like, there's a ton of their historical stuff. It kind of walks through the main beats of their history through like the mid 70s to the mid 80s, like they're the height of their popularity, and most of the popular songs you would want to hear are included and stuff. And the rhythm gameplay is actually surprisingly fun too. That's another thing that's like, for all the rhythm games that have been on mobile over the years, and I'm thinking way back to like Tap Tap Revenge and stuff, nothing's ever really felt like it's actually connected all that much to the music. A lot of it is just like I'm tapping along, playing a tapping game while music is playing in the background. They don't really feel connected.
Like Tap Tap Revenge is interesting one because it was like they very much just like found music and just threw it in the game, and then we're like, how should you tap for this? You know?
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like some Dance Dance Revolution games and stuff like actually kind of tried to think of like dance moves that kind of like make sense with like the cadence of the song and stuff.
Yeah. No, that could be. I'm talking more like mobile specifically, but like, you know, there's something really like important about like if you're playing Guitar Hero and you screw up a note and like it's all and like the song gets screwed up and cuts out or whatever, and it's like the, you know, the crowd boos or whatever. That I feel like adds to the experience. And then when there is no connection, really, the rhythm stuff that you're doing just doesn't feel in time with the music. But also, if it's not affecting the sound of the music, that's distracting to me because I'm like, I keep screwing up, but the song sounds the same. So what am I screwing up? You know. So anyway, the Queen game does that though. Like if you play all different parts of the band, the drums, the guitar, bass, and vocals. And it kind of just randomly, you play different parts at different times or whatever. And if you screw one up, that part of the song cuts out. So all of a sudden you won't have guitar because you screwed up, and it won't come back on again until you get back on track. And I feel like that adds a lot to the game or whatever. But anyway.
It's cool. It reminds me, it's like the rhythm music game equivalent to like, remember how, when East Side Games released Trailer Park Boys? That game, like, and you could just tell it was like very much designed by people that like understood the IP.
Yeah.
And like we're fans of it enough that they like knew how to make a really cool game surrounding it. Whereas like so often these games that, you know, have IP or whatever. It's like, okay, well, we got, I don't know. It's hard to think of an example that's not shitty, but I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you play like a brand new game and you're like, oh, yeah. God, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, no. Queen Rock Tour, not like that at all. It's definitely made by people that like Queen. And it's premium, too. It's free to try. You can play the first two songs for free and then one-time paid unlock, which I feel like that's also super surprising for the type of game it is in, mm-hmm. in this day and age.
That was my other thing.
All around.
I was surprised by that a lot. Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, like pay per, like unlock each song or like
super surprising.
Yeah. Like crazy stuff. Reviewing ads or whatever. Like,
well, there's, unlockables too. There's like unlockable memorabilia and there's unlockable, costumes.
But you have to play to unlock them, right? Like there's
you have
way
to pay, play and actually earn little coins or whatever. But it just seems so ripe for being a free-to-play game. Oh, it's just shocking still that it's not.
They should have, like, I would have, if I knew how this game actually, like, if they demoed this game, like, you know, when they demo free-to-play games, it's like you just have infinite money and everything else. Like, if they would have showed it to us, like, my cynical self would have been like, oh, cool, well, these are going to be, like, $99 coin packs. Like, you have to buy all the songs. Like,
100% agree.
So, but, yeah, it's... surprisingly good. You get like a pretty good like taste for free too, so you don't you know.
Yeah, you can play all difficulties of the first two songs.
Yeah, don't need to jump in immediately. I'm really curious from a licensing perspective like how that works out, that they can like have you download it, cuz basically you can download a Queen song, like two Queen songs for free. Right?
Yeah.
Like think how I'd be curious, do you know if these are the actual like real, like it's not the real band playing, right? It's, or is it?
It's the real, I think. So the same thing with like most of the Guitar Hero and Rock Band songs, like occasionally you would have ones that that were like cover bands because they couldn't get the right licenses for the original stuff. But in all other instances, they use the actual DAT tapes from the original recordings to create the rhythm tracks in the game. And that's why you could have, you could screw up a part of it and it would like alter the sound of the song. Cause they had the, they had to like create them specifically from the original sources, for the games or whatever. And so these are all very much the original songs sung by the original band. I don't think it's like a re-recording of anything.
Man, see,
and really there's only two band members that are still actually active with Queen anyway.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there's,
but
like, I
wouldn't be surprised at all if they use the original like DAT tapes or source tapes or, or whatever original recordings to create it.
Yeah. Like I would have expected that. Like if you asked me like, hey Eli, how does this game work on like the licensing backend perspective, I would have been like, well, they could probably license these like chibi Queen things, or maybe that's not, maybe they just invented that. Like, in like license the Queen logo and then pay some cover band to like make the music.
Yeah.
But to have like everything like official is unexpected.
Yeah. No, this seems also developed very closely with the members of the band that are still like active. And then it was developed in partnership with Universal Media Group. So like that's probably where all the licensing stuff comes in, is Universal, I'm sure, holds all that stuff.
I wonder if this is a situation like the Avenged Sevenfold game, where it's like the people in the band just like really like gaming and that's why it's good. Or
they're
like, you know, really into mobile games or whatever. And they just wanted like to make one that was really good.
Yeah. I can see them being like, at the very least being like, you know, I don't want it to be one of those free games that steals your money or whatever. You know what I mean? I feel like everybody has a bad experience with one of those. And so even like the members of Queen could be like, yeah, I don't want it to be one of those crappy free games. Just make charge $3 for it or whatever.
Right.
So maybe that was some part of their input too, which is kind of funny to think about. But
it's cool,
anyway, Queen Rock Tour. So added bonus discussion this week is last week's game of the week. There you go. Super good. Everyone should try it. It's free to try. So anyway, last thing I had on the doc to talk about is some good old fashioned game club chilling. You guys just last week released Tokyo 42, and now already you released another PC to mobile port, Ancestors Legacy. This is a really cool real-time strategy game, and I think it's easily the most ambitious of the three PC titles you've brought over.
No, it is by far. It's like,
it's crazy this is like a game that, for all, you know, shouldn't be running on like a mobile phone, but it is, and it's pretty impressive. But yeah, this is a big enchilada, this game. And so the actual game that released this week is Ancestors Legacy Vikings. And so that's just like one of the factions that's in the actual PC game.
Yeah, there's three more.
And so you're going to be releasing those on iOS 2 down the road.
Yeah.
And then they all have their own like campaigns and stuff anyway. So it sort of makes sense to be able to split them up that way. Because they're all sort of separate anyway. But yeah, that's also due to it would be just a gigantic ass game if you release the whole thing in one app, which
yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like the subscription aspect of Game Club, when we were first like looking at how to port this, I was like, I had the epiphany of like, why not just split it up? Who cares? Like if you're a Game Club subscriber and you're logged in, like it just, it'll work across, like it doesn't matter if it's one game or 100 games. Like so why should we be all like stressing out about how to like compress Ancestors Legacy to this like extremely minuscule size where like, you know, textures look shitty and everything else to get it under the 4 gigabyte download size. Or we can just like split it up. Like who cares? It could be six parts, like whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where the idea of like splitting the single player campaign into the four parts comes into play is and that's what the Blizzard did with StarCraft. Like they released like the Terran campaign, and then I don't remember the order, but like all three factions eventually just released as like individual sort of packs.
Yeah,
which I thought was pretty cool because like it kind of like allowed you to get a like a really good taste of StarCraft. Like it was over at the right time,
right?
And you're like, oh, that was really cool, I can't wait for the next one. And then like the next one comes out, I don't remember what their release cadence was, but it was a while. And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm so excited to get back into StarCraft. This is cool.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're trying to accomplish with this, is a StarCraft effect, I guess, which...
I think also just in the nature of mobile gaming, too, is like, if this was just one big hunkin' game, there's a chance that people will play through it a little bit and then move on to something else and never come back for the rest.
Right.
And so you give people a better chance to experience it all when it's like, here's a chunk of it. Play the Vikings campaign. Here's a chunk of it. Play the next campaign or whatever, you know, 3 months later or whatever it is. So that's kind of like an interesting aspect to think about, too, is doling this stuff out sometimes is like better for people that have trouble playing through, you know, big games.
Right.
So,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Check it out. It's fun.
Anyway, I was really impressed when I'm not a real-time strategy person. So I was like, this isn't the type of game I typically get excited for. I wasn't aware of it on PC or anything like that. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, we've been kind of talking about this. Like the tutorial kind of makes some big assumptions that you know how real-time strategy works and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe I should think about changing that.
Well, it's not too bad. I think it's nice that it feels really touch native. All the prompts and stuff are like, you know, tap and touch here and whatever. And then like moving your units and stuff is sufficiently streamlined for somebody who doesn't have a little mouse cursor and stuff. So it's nice that there was like that much work put into making it work well on the touchscreen. But it's also like, a super complex strategy game.
It's way better on the iPad, you know, like, which should be a surprise, you know, like...
It's playable on the iPhone, though. Like, I've only played it on the iPhone, and I was surprised it can be... I mean, it's a small screen, and it gets things done pretty well. But yeah, this is, like, a game that's, like... I suck at these games, and I don't have the patience to figure out the right strategies in games like this. Mm-hmm. And so I just get frustrated and mad. And so that's why I've never really taken to most real-time strategy games, unless they're, like, super babies for a strategy game or, like, super streamlined in some way.
Playing them online will make you extremely mad if
but this game, what I was getting at is that this game is like impressive enough, like visually and stuff like that, and it's like an exciting game, I guess you could say. So maybe I will give it more of a chance than I normally would a regular real-time strategy game. So
maybe it'll turn you into a strategy gamer after all.
Maybe. Because I know I have all this extra free time and not enough games to play.
Yeah.
Definitely don't have a backlog of any kind. So, but anyway, pretty cool that you guys released this. And then this was your, this was the third of the original three games that you announced you were bringing over from PC when you announced it back in September of last year. So now, barring the additional factions and stuff of this game or whatever.
Yeah, we got a bunch of more shit coming.
So yeah, now the question is, what's next? Because these are the PC games you've already announced. I'm guessing there's more PC games to come that you just haven't announced yet.
Yeah, we got more in the pipeline. We're just kind of like trying to, like, the big learning with this was that these games take a long time to port to mobile. Because originally we were just like, oh, we could take some like very broken old game and get it kind of like running again and be ready to release inside of like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And so we kind of made that assumption with these and it was like, oh shit, this is way more work than that. So kind of like trying to figure out like crazy. How to order like what we release next, what we announce next based on like what we think we can reasonably get done in a, you know, reasonable amount of time, I guess.
Right. Right.
So
good to know, but there is more coming and more mobile games coming, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff.
Always bunch of stuff, bunch of game club things happening. So
bunch of stuff, too many games, not enough time to get them updated and released or ported and released.
I mean, I personally think that your slowing down has been beneficial because there's so many games on game club already that it's hard to find time to play them all. And so when you take a step back, we kind of talked about this with Apple Arcade too, where it was like, you know, their initial release where they're like, here's a fire hose of 80 games or whatever it was. And then it was sort of like, man, you should have just trickled those bad boys out.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I don't know what it is about game stuff that makes you feel this way, because like, I was like, we were looking for something to watch on Netflix, right? And I just had this like one of those like Ratatouille moments where you like flash back in time to us like talking about like, man, yeah, like so much shit comes out on Apple Arcade, like it's impossible to keep up with. And I was like, wait a minute, that is like super true of Netflix. Like they add so much stuff all the time. Like I got like, you know, the algorithm is always showing like different like categories you should look through.
Yeah.
Like, we watched like, I don't know, some dumb reality TV show. And then it was like more reality you might like. And it was like all these Netflix produced reality TV shows, like a barbecue competition and stuff. And like all this other stuff that like, I had no idea even existed until it showed me. And I was like, and that doesn't bother me with video stuff, because it's just like something in my head is like, I realize there's more video content than I will ever be able to consume my entire life. So it's not worth worrying about, right? It's not worth worrying about like seeing every single movie, right?
Yeah.
But in games, it's like, and I feel this way with Game Pass a lot, where it's like,
oh, you get like anxiety because you don't like play all enough. Stuff
coming, like for instance, like all the Bethesda games are on Game Pass
right now. I know.
And I'm like, oh, shit. It's like almost making me mad, because I'm like, how am I ever going to have time to play through all these again? Like I'm paying for them. I have to play them. Like, and I do not understand like the disconnect in my brain as to like why, like I have this like laissez-faire attitude towards Netflix just like fire hosing content onto their service, and like I'll just watch it when I watch it, and if I don't, like who cares? And then like the stress of Game Pass and similar stuff where it's like, oh my god, all this stuff's coming out, I can't play all this stuff, like, oh, this is making me, you know, upset or whatever. Like
I feel exactly the same. And it's especially with the Bethesda stuff, especially, it's like, oh, I bought half those games when they were on sale on Steam or something, or even on Xbox already. I like already own them and haven't played them. And now they're part of this service I already subscribed to. And that always drives me kind of nuts too. But then it's a weird thing too. And I think this is true for games and for TV shows and movies and stuff, where it's like, I have this grand list of things I'd love to watch. Mm-hmm. This list of shows that have been recommended to me that it's like on my watch list, and same with games. But I'm just always content to be like, I'm going to watch Triple D, the same Triple D for the 40th time, and just spend 5 hours on a Friday night doing that instead of, you know, making my way through a backlog of videos or games.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we are with Forensic Files too. It's just like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Fuck it. 12 hours of Forensic Files. Let's go.
Yeah. It's super annoying to me too, because it's like, man, I'll replay the same dumb game I played 1,000 times, but I won't play that one game that people have been telling me to play for 10 years that's supposed to be amazing. I mean, so it's like, I think there's something going on with people's brains that do those sort of things.
don't know. I mean, Spotify is an even more extreme example, really. I mean, like, you could probably, like, if you made a playlist of every song on Spotify and just press play, like, it would probably play longer than you will be alive. Mm-hmm. Right. And you'd get all of that for whatever it costs, $10 a month or whatever. Right. Like, but that doesn't stress you out. Right. You're just like, whatever. I don't care. All I listen to is Blink 182. Like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. You know? Re-listen to the same stuff. All that. Yeah. Same with music too. Although I think with stuff like Spotify and like, I used to be pretty anti like streaming music services, but, I've definitely come around since I got free Apple Music through Verizon. And, now it's actually about to be up next month. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay for it.
I like Spotify better, but that's just me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, but I think there's something to be said to be like start with this band I already know I like, and then play things related to that. And then you can kind of like thumbs up, thumbs down things based on what they play. And eventually they figure it out pretty well where you're like, damn, you just keep playing these bands that I know I like. Okay. And also these new bands that are really good that are like the stuff that I like. And so there's sort of that in games, and there's sort of that in Netflix where it's like play a random game or whatever, and it'll shuffle your library and show you like just pick a game for you or whatever. Right. You know, that's something I should probably force myself to do more, because it's so, you just glaze over when you start scrolling through a list of your Steam library and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what to play. Like you just zone out.
Right.
But when something's like, okay, here's a game, a specific game, play this, then you might be like, okay, cool, I'll play it. And maybe you'll get hooked and finish it or whatever. You know, I do that with music, like random shuffle, show me something new. I don't do that with games. I don't really do that with video stuff either. So,
Yeah, the problem is, God, you get trapped in these streaming services, and it's like, I've had Spotify since it launched in North America, which I don't even know when, a long time now.
Six or seven years ago, I think,
and it knows my listening habits so well that, like, the playlist it recommends me is, like, shit that is insane how accurate it is. Like, very rarely, I mean, like, I think they do this on purpose where they like throw in kind of like weirder stuff into some of them to see if you like skip that song or not, to like kind of like refine your taste better. But like, aside from an odd skip here or there, like they have me nailed. It's crazy.
Yeah. 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 I guess I don't know. I should just make more of an effort to play backlog games is what I'm getting at.
So you want to hear my heartwarming story of the week?
Yeah, let's switch gears to a heartwarming and emotional tale from Eli.
So, content warning.
Mm-hmm.
The story contains scheming, grifting, light piracy chat,
okay,
and general unethical behavior.
Some malarkey, would you say?
Some malarkey, yeah. So, okay. Basically, I actually looked this up. So since May 2019, I've had a guy emailing me at Game Club about, and it's always the same thing. It's, hi, I'm so-and-so, you know, I'm with outlet X and Y or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, I am going to review this game. will you please unlock it for me? Here's my Game Club account or whatever. We're going to post a review or whatever. Always the exact same, well, not the exact, very close phrasing, but what I've come to notice is like very obviously the same person writing it, because like the way they use smileys is very distinct. The way they phrase things is very distinct as well, and everything else. I'm always like, fuck off, get out of here. Like, get out of here. We're not giving you shit. Go away.
I'll add too that me and you, dealing with a popular forum over the years, you learn when people get banned and try to come back at someone else. Yeah, yeah, you learn patterns of recognizing people. And so I could totally see you being like, yeah, this is, I can tell this is the same dude.
Because it's a big one. Because, like, you know, people don't realize when you, like when you talk, like for instance, like my verbal tick is to say like a lot, you know, like you could, right. That's just the way I've always spoke. So, people, when they type, they have similar things, you know, it's like, and it's like, what kind of smileys do you use? Do you use a lot of like winky faces? Do you use a lot mm-hmm. of just like normal smiley faces? Do you put the smiley face before the punctuation at the end of a sentence? Mm-hmm. Do you put it at the end? Do you double space and then do a smiley? Do you punctuation and then immediately into the smiley? Like there's a lot of like weird, like little things that you like exactly what you're saying. Like you pick up on when it's like, oh, this is the same fucking shithead that we've banned 3 times. It's like trying to argue it's not the same person, right? Like I've noticed things that you do. So this guy, like his thing is he registers an email with a free email provider with the mm-hmm. site name at emailprovider.com. So, you know, like, so for instance, like toucharcade@hotmail.com or something like that, right?
Right.
And we'll email him and be like, oh, hey, I'm with Touch Arcade. Like first of all, so what he does first is he emails and is like, I'm with Touch Arcade. Like we're going to make review of this game. You know, like obviously not English speaker for one, which is fine. You know, a lot of people on this planet don't speak English. I'm not saying that in a bad thing, but it's just like you can tell when someone like is not a native speaker, like particularly when they're typing. Right. You know, like, hi, I make review of this new game that just came out, you know, like Ancestor's Legacy. Please provide unlock, you know, so I can play a full game and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, so obvious that it's not who they say they are.
Right.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, let's step up our game on this one. But what was interesting about a recent email this guy sent was that he said he was with this like Middle Eastern Apple site out of Saudi Arabia. It was like Apple dash I don't know, something like 2letters.com or whatever. And you know, I saw this and I was like, I'm not gonna respond to this. It's bullshit. This is the same kid that's been emailing us for 2 years. Like it didn't work then, it's not gonna work now.
Yeah.
And someone else in my company saw it and was like, why hasn't anyone responded to this like press request from like 4 days ago? Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And at the time, like, I didn't even like look at what they were talking about. I just generated promo codes. Like, here you go. Here's my standard copy and paste. And like, I looked at it later and was like, oh shit, it's the same guy. And then, so what was crazy was I was like, so I noticed this and I was like, oh, well, you know, whatever. He finally got his thing. Like, you know, 2 years of persistence. Yeah, sure. If you want some free game club, you know, you earned it. But then he emails back and it's like, having a problem claiming the promo code. Like he claimed it, but it wasn't like recognizing the description or something like that.
Yeah.
And he responded directly to me. So he didn't CC anyone at my company. I was like, all right, I got this guy. I got this guy now. Like he's in my spider web. Like, let's go. So I tell him, I'm like, if you tell me that this is bullshit and you're just trying to get free games, like I will tell you exactly how to fix this and we can just get on with our lives. And, you know, so he responds like, no, why would you think that? Like, I can't believe this. Like, we were going to give you such good coverage of your game and you're accusing me of all this stuff. And I was like, and I responded back a couple of times like, dude, I know you're lying. Just tell me the truth and I will unlock your shit. Like, no problem. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, at the
just
end of the day, like,
about it.
just tell me like, hey, I don't have any money. Like, I'd really like to play this game. Like if you catch me at the right time of day, I'd be like, all right, yeah, sure. Fuck it. Like I remember being there. Like, cool. Here you go. So we go back and forth a couple times and eventually I tell him, I'm like, look, dude, if you tell me that you're just bullshitting, if you just fess up that you've been emailing me this same stuff for the last 2 years, not only will I give you free game club, but I will tell you the secrets to getting more free stuff from other publishers. Because I can tell you everything that you're doing wrong and why I know you're scamming me. And again, he kept it up and kept it up. And he was like, I can't believe you'd say that. Oh my God, all this other stuff. And so I finally email him back and like, I just detail like all the stuff that he's doing wrong. I'm like, first of all, dude, like if you're, so using the Touch Arcade example, right? I was like, we would never email you from toucharcade@hotmail.com. Like we have toucharcade.com. Like we're an established website. Like we've got email addresses. Like there's not this weird thing where you would have some random email address. But I was like, but something to keep in mind for future schemes is that most websites have a lot of freelancers and freelancers won't typically have the @website.com email address. So it's like, what you do is you look up someone that posts, but not posts a ton, figure out their name, make a fake email address based on that. And then you're in. And I was like, and furthermore, nobody follows up as much as you do for free shit. Like if you're like if we were writing an email like for a promo code or something with Touch Arcade. It would just be like, hey, you know, this game looks cool. Like, can you send me a code so I can send it to some writers? Cause we'd love to get a story on the game. Like that would be it. Yeah. Like one sentence. Yeah. And then like, if they didn't get back to you, it's like no skin off your back. Cause there's 100 other things going on. Right. You probably didn't even think to follow up. And I was like, the fact that you're following up like twice a day is very suspicious because no journalist works like that.
Yeah.
And so I sent him like all these other tips and everything else of like how to, if you actually want to do this, how to do it. And he sends me his email back and he's like, oh my God, like, I feel like I was given this like amazing gift. And like, I don't understand why you would do this and all this other stuff. And I responded, dude, I get it. Like there was a time where I didn't have any money to play games, but I had infinite amounts of time to figure out like how to get games.
Yeah,
and like I totally like everyone's been there. That so like, you know, if you're gonna run this grift, like do it good so you actually get shit instead of wasting all your time. And then he like responded back. He's like, I think he lives in like a very shitty part of the world. He's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, you know, my life's not great and I don't have any money and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I taught someone how to scheme online and it made their life better.
Yeah. Watch this weekend you're gonna get hacked by him and he's gonna steal your identity.
I just created the next Nigerian prince email scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably he says so his last email was when I was like, dude, I get it. Like I was a kid too. I didn't have any fucking money to buy anything.
Yeah.
He's like, that's touching, man, especially living in a broken country where everything is falling apart. And you try to find something to enjoy your time and forget the pain. Thanks for your kindness. I really value it.
Ouch, man. Oh my God.
Like, I thought this was just some like shithead kid, not like someone that is like really
in
not a great spot that just like wants something to play. Like, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck to that young fellow.
Yeah.
Hopefully you scam a bunch of codes from people using your newfound tips from Eli.
Yeah, I guess. I specifically said, I was like, with great power comes great responsibility. So remember that.
that's a pretty funny story, but.
Yeah, because it's always like, I mean, like when we, because it's not a norm, that's not like a new thing. Like we would get people that would forward us emails from people that were like sending emails from you, like Touch Arcade reviews at hotmail.com or whatever, being like, yep, I need codes for this game, thank you.
Yeah,
you know, and like people would forward that to us and be like, is this legit? And it's always like low effort schemes. You gotta up your effort if you're gonna scheme people.
Real Touch Arcade reviewer at gmail.com.
yeah. But I don't know.
Well, that's a very touching story. Thank you for sharing that.
My content warning was accurate, was it not?
Pretty accurate content warning, yeah. And I don't think I have anything else. I don't have any other random branches to.
You don't have any heartwarming stories? Into.
What's that?
You don't have any heartwarming stories about.
I don't really have any heartwarming
teaching a child in a war torn country how to
steal video games the right way. No, I don't know anything about that. I think maybe time to wrap things up. How's that sound?
Yeah, sure, whatever. A little short, but
it's a little fine. Short.
Nothing going on.
We ran really long last week, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We can always get our 20 minutes of pre-show included if you join us on patreon.com/touch arcade.
You can see doing a unboxing reenactment of a moon pie this week.
Yeah, Eli had his first moon pie, well, quote unquote, air quotes, first moon pie.
First on camera moon pie.
Live on camera. And the results were not great. And I agree. I think moon pies are gross.
Hey, what's going on? Do you still have a giant hole in your house?
Yeah, I still have a giant hole in my house. I think I need to call the guy today. I think we've decided who we're going to go with to do the repairs and build a second story addition.
Oh, you're going
to
do that?
Yeah, we're going to do it all.
That made sense. That's cool.
So getting that ball rolling, hopefully next week someone comes out to take all the measurements of our house and then figure out the engineering stuff and be able to tell us what we can do, because that's going to like limit how big the project is. Because if it's like, hey, everywhere you want to add a second floor, you need to dig down and add new footings to your foundation, and that's going to be too much money. And so we might just do like a smaller second story addition, just one room, you know. But so we'll see. It, everything comes down to what the engineer says, so based on what we can do. So
well, so something that I would ask them when they're out, and I've talked to, I've gotten weirdly friendly with the manager of our local Lowe's, so I just shoot the shit with all sorts of random stuff. But the price of lumber now is like literally double what it was this time last year.
Right.
And the question that always comes up in my mind, and we have like a lot of new construction going around near us, you know. So if you figure, I don't know what the split's going to be different everywhere, but like if you figure like when you look at like the price of like a property, right? Like you're like the actual price of the dirt is like X, right? And then the price of the like structure is Y, and that you know, comes together for the total, right? So if your materials costs are double, like does the price or does the value of your, you know, like property, like the net value of your property, does that increase in line with the increased price of materials? You know, like, so if buying, if building a house costs you double what it did before, like does your, and you know, 50% of your value is in land. Now you've got, you know, like a double as expensive house. Well, so I guess what, I don't, a third more expensive if the house doubled, you know, is all your stuff worth 33% more?
I mean, that's going to all depend too on the market for your house, because how much is somebody going to willing to pay for that completed house when it's done?
Well that's
which can change.
So like if next year would returns to normal price, and it's like, oh, well, you built in 2020 into 2021, your house cost twice as much, and now it's not worth that much anymore because the 2x4 instead of being $5 is back to being $2.50 or whatever. Like,
I don't,
how does that shake out?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never thought about that, but I wouldn't think it really matters, because it's going to matter your location and the house itself, the finished house, right? And whatever the value of that is.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying though, right? Like you know, so your component costs are double this year.
Right.
And then they go back to normal next year. It's not like the value of, well, I don't know. I guess I just like don't know how it's going to shake out. You know, like that's,
well, that's going to be up to you whether you keep doing that project, right? Like if you're in the midst of building a house last year, I mean, you also kind of can't just stop in the middle of something like that because the pandemic happened or whatever and just hope it survives the weather and whatever. But you know, if it would have cost you $100,000 before the pandemic to build a house and now it's costing you $150,000 or $200,000, is that house going to be worth at least that when the pandemic's over, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, so in the context of your guys' project, I don't know the answer to this, you know, so just something to think about, but like, the material costs are going to be way higher. So is it better for you guys in the long term to get the wall fixed now? Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, your house is whole or whatever, and chill on the remodel, like the major remodel until like next year, because like if you think about it, like it's, well, so there's so many variables here, right? So it's like next year is wood going to be normal price, but then like this weird like COVID housing bubble goes away, so your house isn't worth as much, so you can't pull as much equity out. Like I don't know.
Well, it doesn't really matter, because in our case, if we were just going to fix the wall, we still need permits and we still need inspections and we still need city approval and we still need all this stuff that we would have to pay again next year if we decided to do the thing. And then the repair to the wall itself would be different, because unless I specifically said, hey, build this with that we're going to build a second story on it, you know, build this in a way that would support a second story down the road or whatever. But if they just fix the wall as is, to just get it back to the way it was, you'd have to tear it down when you went to build the second story, whenever that would be again anyway. So the materials costs, while more expensive right now, isn't that crazy for what we're wanting to do.
Okay.
The biggest expense in all this stuff is labor for everything.
Yeah.
And that's usually the case, but materials costs are higher right now.
I mean, it's crazy. Like I need to do some repairs to my deck, you know, eventually, you know, mm-hmm. just replacing like just nothing crazy, just replacing like deck boards, you know, like routine maintenance and stuff. Right. And like, man, you go to the hardware store and like this wood is so expensive now that like, I'm like, well shit, do I just like put this off until next year? I mean, it'll probably be fine. Yeah. Like it's not dangerous or anything. It's just kind of like shitty. You know, like, do I put it off to next year and like save a little bit of money or just like not worry about it and do it now? Or is it going to be even more expensive next year? Like, am I fucking myself not doing it now because wood's just going to get more expensive?
That could be too.
Like, I don't know.
Before a car drove into my house, we were in talks with,
what a sentence that is to be able to say.
We had a couple people come out and give us quotes for, we want to do a front yard fence. Cause our backyard is all concrete and there's a pool. And so there's not a ton of room for the little guy to run around. So fence in the front yard, we got some grass out there and stuff. And so same sort of thing though, like, we rebuilt our back fence this time last year, almost exactly a year ago, actually. And, it was right before things closed up.
Yeah.
And, we got it done literally like the week before or like days later, it was like shut down. And so, the price of wood and stuff was all just pretty normal for that time. Fast forward to these last few months and we've had some estimates for the fence and it's like double or triple wood prices.
Yeah.
And so something like a fence that's all wood.
Right. Yeah.
You really feel that because you're like, oh, this fence that should be $2,000 is $5,000 or whatever. And so with us wanting to do an addition, like the wood is like the framing and stuff like that, but it's not all that much wood. There's a lot of materials involved. And then probably the bigger problem is like the timing of everything because kitchen counters might be longer than it would normally take or cabinets or appliances or whatever, the things you want to order that in the before times were just like a normal thing you'd order and get 2 weeks later are now like an order and like it might be 3 months or whatever. So that's more of like a wrench than I think the material costs will be. But again, we'll see. I mean, I will ask them about all this stuff. We're super picky about this sort of stuff. We've rattled through a bunch of contractors that have come out and we've talked with already. And so this guy that we're finally going with, I think he'll probably grow to regret knowing that.
Man, like that's
so picky.
I mean, that's like the case with everything. Like, I feel like this sort of work is like, I don't know, it just like mentally does something to you because like, so I, you know, we tore this house to the studs to like basically redo everything in it. Right. And when we have people come over, like they're like, holy shit, like this is an insanely nice place. Like, I cannot believe like the work you guys did on this. Right. But like, when I look around, I'm like, this fucking door jam is messed up. Like this over here is fucked up. Like this thing doesn't close right. All this other stuff. And it was just like truly driving me crazy.
Yeah.
But even though it's like just meaningless stuff, but like, and I bet your house right now has all sorts of stuff like that, but you bought it that way. So it's just always been your normal, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like paying someone a ton of money to do stuff and then be like, oh, this door closes kind of fucked up. Like what the hell? Like,
not okay. Redo it.
Whereas like, if you just came in, it's like, oh, this bedroom door is kind of weird, but you know, like whatever.
Yeah. You know? Totally.
So be prepared for that because it will mess with your brain something fierce.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. But it'll be good. And I guess I don't think I've talked about this on the show yet. I don't think I've even told you, but we're having another baby.
Oh, my God.
So that's kind of
all. Jaredina is finally coming?
We don't know yet. But we waited to find out what the last one was. It was a surprise, which was fun, but I don't want to do that.
You're going to do a gender reveal where you burn down a forest the woods burn pink. It's a,
we're very against doing a gender reveal, but we do want to know so that we can tell our 2-year-old, hey, you got a brother on the way, or hey, you got a sister on the way. Cause right now we're like, there's a brother sister waiting for you, and feel like that could be confusing. So we'd rather just know one way or the other, more for his sake. But so yeah, that was kind of like also a big driving force in wanting the extra space. Cause right now, if, I mean, kids can share a room for a pretty long time, but eventually, and especially if it is a girl, I feel like they need their own spaces even earlier than if it was like two boys sharing or something. So,
this makes that a lot would more eliminate, sense in this context.
That would eliminate me having an office, if we need the other bedroom. So by doing this, we'll give ourselves a master bedroom, an extra bathroom, and hopefully a little office space for me that's like dedicated office away from everybody, which would be really nice because it can get a little noisy where I'm at right now. So, So, yeah, that's one of the big reasons we're doing this addition too.
Interesting.
Addition for the addition.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess you need more kids, so the bloodline is secure if your existing child falls in battle or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons. I really would like to stop at two. One has been more than enough.
Once you have the kid infrastructure in place, though, it's like it seems like the rest just kind of like falls into.
Maybe I feel like, so they're going to be about 2.5 years apart. And, I feel like there's benefit to if we have waited till our first one's like 5 or something. So he can like actually really help out with a lot of things, but I feel like eventually this will all catch up and it's like the older one, you can pass the buck on a lot of things to him.
Yeah. I mean, my sister and I are 2 years apart, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see, but it's like a little crazy to think about sometimes, like, given how much work one is and being like, I can't even imagine some of the situations we have to deal with him right now being almost two, if there was another little baby around that we had to worry about.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. It'll be crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Crazy in a good way.
Hashtag dad life.
Dad life.
With a Y.
Dad life. So yeah, anyway, that's what's going on in my world right now. Hopefully, we can get our construction stuff rolling, and then there will certainly be a period coming up very soon where I don't know what I'm going to do for like internet and stuff. I think we're going to try and find a short-term rental to get out of the house while all this stuff's going on. And I don't know what my internet situation will be like. I certainly won't have like an office like this. I don't know what's going to happen in the next like several months with like doing a podcast and stuff.
But, well, your internet is the Verizon 5G stuff though, right? So theoretically it should work like anywhere.
Well, kind of. So I have the Verizon 5G. It requires this thing that's on the side of the house that's going to be built on to point at this base station that's on a light pole across the street. And it's very temperamental with this ultra wideband stuff, like needs to be like invisible, like they need to be visible with each other to have a connection, right? So even like when there's a tree branch or something in the way, it can interfere with the signal. It's like very temperamental. That's why each base station, that's why the rollout's been really weird too, because it's like I have a base station across the street from my house that can service like a handful of houses that are right within that distance. And that's it. You know what I mean? So it's like a really short span. But and so I don't know. Like, I'm going to call Verizon and be like, look, you need to take your thing down for right now. But I don't think there's anywhere else they can put it up where it's going to make a connection with that base station.
I mean, they might just be able to, like, throw a pole in your yard to put it on for the meantime, you know?
No. Yeah, I don't know. So I need to kind of talk to them about that. I think the worst case scenario is it has a 4G backup in it. And so if the 5G's ever gone down, the 4G cell just kicks in. And it's surprisingly fast. I've had to use it before when 5G's been down for whatever reason. And it works. I mean, it's almost as fast. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it's usably fast. It's not like when you get stuck on 3G and you're like waiting for images to load and stuff. But so I might have to rock that for a while. I don't know how that'll work out with recording a podcast, but we'll see. So I don't know. We'll just kind of see what happens. But that's something to be aware of, I guess, in the future.
Yeah, sure. I'm surprised it requires like that kind of a setup because like you could just presumably have a 5G iPhone that you tether to, right? Like I mean, it's the same shit.
Yeah, but I don't have 5G. And I mean, they call it 5G, but it's not real 5G. It's not like the Verizon ultra wideband 5G.
Okay.
Not in my city. And so, and even in the cities where it's at, it's the same sort of like hyper local type of thing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where you could be like on a street corner and get a connection, and then across the street, not. You know what I mean? It's like that. Okay. Specific to your location. So that's just how the technology works. It's really weird. But the other dumb thing is that when they installed this 5G stuff, they were like, oh, yeah, in the next year, we're going to do a big equipment swap out, because I think they wanted to be so first to the 5G that they kind of cobbled together their own like version of it just to get it rolling out or whatever, with plans for once the broader infrastructure was installed to actually have legit 5G equipment installed. And then COVID happened, and I never heard anything back. And I still have all the original equipment or whatever. So it's possible if I call them up and tell them my situation, they're going to be like, oh, you don't even have the new stuff that you should have.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work fine for you or whatever. So we'll see. But
I don't think they can really just throw a pole in your yard. It won't be a problem. I mean, like, I've seen satellite dishes on poles, you know, like
that's. Yeah, I don't see why not. But I don't know if they're in the business of just installing poles either. Mm. We'll see.
Be surprised. Back in the day when I had at my parents' house, we had like fixed wireless, which sounds like a very, very early version of what you have now. And
yeah,
they threw a 30-foot tall tower on top of my parents' roof.
Oh, really?
It's like, we don't care. Like, it's this yeah. one, we'll just install it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them doing that, but also we have to replace the roof and stuff, so that it would get in the way eventually. Like, we have our overhang in the backyard that maybe you could attach something to, but the other problem there is like where this base station is located is like I have a perfect line of sight with where the receptor is on the side of my house. It has a perfect line of sight. 2 or 3 feet in, you have a two-story duplex right in the way. And so anywhere you go all the way to the back of my property, that duplex is blocking that base station.
Oh, interesting.
And so if they did a pole, it would have to be up and over this two-story structure. But beyond that, it would also, there's two really big trees like right there too. And so you'd have to get really creative. Even if you could clear the duplex in front of me, you'd have to figure out how to clear the trees and make sure that there's like still a solid connection. And even when you got that far back on my property, that might be breaching how far away you can be from the base station.
Oh yeah.
Which is kind of like weird to think about too. So there's like all these factors involved that like the way things are right now is perfect and I get amazing internet service and I love it, but it's all like a house of cards. Once you have to like take the equipment down and do work on that room where everything's installed. So I don't know what's going to happen. I guess the other option is bite the bullet and get Comcast again, because they can just install a modem with a wire running to it and it would be fine. But I'd rather not do that. I love my Verizon and I'm still on the promo $50 a month price.
Yeah, that's hard to beat.
If I ever deviate from that, they're going to not give that back to me.
I pay fucking Comcast like $120 a month just for internet.
Yeah, it's unbeatable that this is still $50. So we'll see. Something I just got to deal with all this bullshit. But
yeah.
Okay, so we've eaten enough time now. This is like a normal length podcast, I think. So that's pretty cool. And should probably wrap things up anyway, because I got stuff to do before.
Sure.
The old wifey goes to work.
Crash the ship into the iceberg and call the day.
Yeah. Iceberg ho. thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. As always, we are primarily supported through you, our listeners and our viewers and our readers. So if you like what we do, want to see us continue doing it, please consider checking out patreon.com/touch arcade and throwing a little support our way. Always much appreciated. You can also do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. And that's our little affiliate link. We'll get a little slice of anything you'd be buying on Amazon anyway. And, of course, we talked about Game Club earlier. You can sign up for a free trial of Game Club through the banner on our front page. And iOS or Android, get 30 free days to check out everything that Game Club has to offer, including the brand new Ancestors Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, with all that out of the way, thanks again so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the Touch Arcade Show.
See ya.